Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world. Today's stories include Chinese repression making its way to Europe, accounts from practitioners illegally detained in Serbia during the CEE China Summit. Falun Gong speaks out at International Human Rights Day rally in Australia. Defense lawyer, the persecution of Falun Gong causes harm and wastes public money. And finally, Ms. Liu, a 78-year-old Vancouverite on a mission. Now for the stories. Chinese repression making its way to Europe, accounts from practitioners illegally detained in Serbia during the CEE China Summit. What happened in Serbia is a signal to the world about the way China tries to extend its oppressive policy in foreign countries. All of us are with various professions and from different social strata. We have one thing in common, we are Falun Dafa practitioners. And only because of that, we were detained in Serbia. Sergei Ponomare, a Russian journalist who lives in Bulgaria, said the above at a press conference in Sofia, Bulgaria, on December 18, 2014. Mr. Ponomare was one of the 11 practitioners who visited Belgrade, Serbia, to raise awareness about the persecution of Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, in China, during Chinese Premier Li Keqiang's visit at the CEE China Central and Eastern Europe Summit on December 16th to 17th. All 11 practitioners were detained and removed from Belgrade by December 15th. Starting from the night of December 17th, they were deported to their home countries in Bulgaria, Slovakia, and Finland. At the detention center over 10 miles away from Belgrade, the 11 practitioners were asked to sign a declaration admitting that they had gone to Serbia to participate in illegal protests. All of them refused. The practitioners stated that communist China might not be as far away as many people think. The Chinese Communist Party's suppression and universal values affects everyone and causes damage beyond China's borders. A stressful ordeal. Stressful was a common term among the practitioners who recounted their experiences. The Bulgarian practitioners knew that Serbian practitioners didn't obtain a permit for the originally planned protest. Our idea was to meet the Serbian practitioners and to take a walk with the Falun Dafa yellow t-shirts during the Belgrade summit. All that we intended to do was allowed by the law, said Victoria Germanova, a Bulgarian citizen. According to Dijan Markovic, a contact person for Falun Gong practitioners in Serbia, he applied for an official permit from the local authorities to hold peaceful activities on December 15th through 18th, 2014, but the authorities denied the application without stating legitimate reasons as required by law. The moment the 9 practitioners, including 7 Bulgarian citizens and 2 Russians living in Bulgaria, arrived at their hostel on the night of December 14th, the Serbian police showed up and took away their identification, documents, and cell phones. By the time they were taken to a detention center for illegal immigrants, all their personal belongings had been taken away, including money, credit cards, and everything else. Their request to call the Bulgarian embassy was repeatedly turned down and delayed. A call was promised upon arriving at the police station, but upon arriving at the detention center, it was not fulfilled. They finally met with the Bulgarian consul on Tuesday afternoon, 2 days after the arrest on Sunday night. The consul didn't know the accusation, which was communicated to the practitioners as a threat to Serbia's national security and public order, a crime label similar to what the Chinese Communist Party uses to persecute Falun Gong practitioners in China, sabotaging law enforcement. Support in the European Union. The detention and deportation of the practitioners caught the attention of the EU-Serbia Stabilization and Association Parliamentary Committee, an EU organization. Edward Kukan, member of the European Parliament MEP and chair of the committee, said, "Considering that Serbia is an EU candidate country, we are alarmed by the steps the Serbian authorities took in this case, and we asked for release of the human rights activists as well as a clear explanation of the situation." The spokesperson of the Bulgarian Ministry of Foreign Affairs also stated that the right of freedom of assembly and of free demonstrations is an irreversible right of EU citizens, in response to media questions regarding the detention of Bulgarian practitioners in Serbia. Amnesty International, AI, and other human rights organizations, such as UCOM in Serbia, also made statements. AI stated, "Amnesty International is concerned that the Serbian authorities are acting unlawfully and urges them to immediately end any detention based solely on the person's intentions to exercise their right of peaceful assembly." An extremely light version of what happens in China. Bulgarian practitioner Lulia Kostova said at the press conference, "We read a lot about the systematic persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China, and what happened to us was an extremely light version of what we have read about." Martin Angelov, another Bulgarian practitioner, added, "When we held events to inform people about the organ harvesting and to collect signatures against it for the international organization DAFOH, Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, people often say, 'Oh yes, but China is very far away, at the other end of the world. Why should we care?' But now I realize that it is not so far away. In this specific case, I can see repression making its way even to Europe. This, to me, was very shocking." Australia. Falun Gong speaks out at International Human Rights Day rally. On December 14th, the Human Rights Relief Foundation and the Vietnamese Community of Australia, New South Wales chapter, held a rally in the Sydney suburb of Cabramatta. Falun Gong practitioners joined the rally to condemn Chinese communist attempts to extend the persecution of Falun Gong to Australia and the party's attempts to control Australian communities with economic threats. The rally was part of local activities in recognition of the 66th International Human Rights Day. John Deller, a local Falun Gong spokesperson, pointed out that both Falun Gong practitioners and Vietnamese have been suffering as a result of Communist Party influence. He briefly explained Falun Gong and reviewed the 15-year persecution and practitioners' peaceful resistance to it. At the end of his speech, he reminded the audience that the CCP has been trying to extend its human rights violations into Australian society and control Australian communities, especially the Chinese. Other speakers at the rally echoed Mr. Deller. Craig Kelly, the member of the Australian House of Representatives, co-founded Parliamentarians Against Forced Organ Harvesting with Senator John Madigan, and noted that Australia needs to pay more attention to this issue. He also said, "Regarding the Chinese Communist Party's influence and trade issue, we absolutely have to keep an eye on it. We have to use this as an opportunity to use the trade between us, as the more trade we have, the more exposure we have, the more light we can shine on human rights issues. So I believe trade should not be seen as a negative thing, but should be seen as a positive thing that can help open up great freedom and human rights." At the rally, MP Chris Hayes talked to Falun Gong practitioner Lin Lee and heard her story. During the APEC conference in November, Lin Lee joined the protest in Sydney. A few Chinese people from a local organization, which is believed brought by the CCP, pushed Ms. Lee down on the street, and a car almost ran over her. Ms. Lin Lee is concerned about the CCP's penetration into Australian society. MP Hayes praised Lee for her courage and encouraged her to keep up the good job of exposing the CCP's human rights violations. Fiona Bachmanen, representing Amnesty Australia, called for an end of the persecution of Falun Gong. She talked to a few practitioners and promised to raise their situations with her colleagues at Amnesty Australia. Ms. Bachmanen said, "Today is the 66th year anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Amnesty International action groups focus on raising awareness about human rights in the Australian community. We support Falun Gong. My view is that it is a violation of human rights to have anyone treated in the way that Falun Gong is treated in China. I do not think anyone here today would support those violations." Defense lawyer. The persecution of Falun Gong causes harm and wastes public money. Pan Shuqin, deputy chief judge of Fengcheng City Court, has closely followed the Chinese Communist Party in persecuting Falun Gong since 1999. In the past 12 years in particular, Pan has sent a total of 35 local residents to prison for their belief in this peaceful self-cultivation system. Most recently, Pan scheduled a trial of Ms. Jiang Fengli, charging her with using a cult to sabotage the enforcement of law, a typical accusation widely used by the CCP to frame and sentence Falun Gong practitioners. Ms. Jiang Fengli defended her constitutional right to practice and spread information about Falun Gong at their trials. Her lawyers from Beijing pleaded not guilty on her behalf and offered rebuttals to their clients' charges. They made it clear that the People's Congress, China's lawmaking body, has never passed any law banning Falun Gong or designating it as a cult. As such, the persecution of Falun Gong has been illegal from the very beginning. One lawyer summed up the groundless persecution. The persecution, including this illegal trial, is harming people and wasting people's money. Unable to refute the lawyer's defense arguments, Pan adjourned the trial without issuing a verdict. Judge reprimands lawyer, "Don't lecture me about your conscience." Ms. Jiang was arrested on September 7, 2014, after she offered a copy of anti-firewall software to a deputy police chief who was moonlighting as a taxi driver. Jiang Pingqian of the Baoshan police station immediately called his officers to get Ms. Jiang. The police searched her house and confiscated her Falun Gong books, a portrait of Master Li Hongzhi, and copies of Minghui Weekly. Around 100 people came to observe the trial of Ms. Jiang on December 4th. The public gallery in the courtroom was filled to capacity, with some people standing at the back or in the corridor. A number of police and six or seven agents from the 610 office were also present. Ms. Jiang gave an opening statement in her defense. "I used to suffer from poor health, but recovered completely shortly after I started practicing Falun Gong," she said. "My moral standards were raised. Now I really enjoy helping others, and I get on very well with all my neighbors. I've personally experienced the wonderfulness of Falun Dafa. The practice has now spread to over 100 countries. China is the only country where practicing Falun Gong is not allowed." Her defense lawyer added, "My client is an ordinary countrywoman with little education, but every word she said is true. She only wants to share her happiness from practicing Falun Gong with others. How can this be a crime? My client's family fell apart because of the persecution. She was lonely and helpless, and it was her faith in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance that pulled her through. Yet you want to take away her source of spiritual support. You demonize good people and imprison them. This is what happened during the Cultural Revolution. It's absolutely absurd." Judge Pan repeatedly interrupted the lawyer as he argued that practicing Falun Gong broke no law. "I was hired by my client and have a legal obligation to represent her. As a lawyer, I must speak the truth and act on my conscience," the lawyer said. Furious, Judge Pan shot back, "Don't lecture me about your conscience." Spectators applaud defense. The lawyer then made his final arguments for the defense. "Falun Gong's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance are universal values that are widely embraced in over 100 countries worldwide. In China, however, the practice has been persecuted for 15 years, and the entire government, the entire legal system, and hundreds of millions of people have been drawn into this persecution, which has wasted enormous amounts of public funds and manpower. The persecution, including this trial, is harming people and wasting the public's money. Falun Gong practitioners have paid a heavy price during the last 15 years of persecution. So many innocent people were sentenced to forced labor and imprisonment. We who work in the legal profession should regard our conscience as the highest requirement when we defend the law. We must end this persecution. This is the only way that we can save our country. It is the hope of our nation." The lawyer's defense won loud applause from people in the gallery.
Mrs. Liu, a 78-year-old Vancouverite on a mission. Unlike many people her age who prefer the comfort of their own homes, 78-year-old Mrs. Liu enjoys going out, specifically to tourist hotspots like the Gastown Steam Clock or Canada Place. She would insist on going every day regardless of the weather conditions and would stay for around 4 or 5 hours each time. However, Mrs. Liu does not do this for her own indulgence. Instead, she goes there to see the Chinese tourists who frequent those places. Mrs. Liu wishes for them to understand the truth about the persecution of Falun Gong in China and have the courage to denounce Chinese Communist Party, CCP, for its crimes against the Chinese people. She says, "I myself was almost deceived by the CCP's lies, and I wouldn't have known any better if it weren't for the efforts of those dedicated volunteers. Now I wish to return the favor by becoming one as well and sharing the truth with others who may need it. God sent you to tell me all this." A popular tourist attraction in downtown Vancouver is Canada Place. It's not only a stunning display of the city's modernity, but also surrounded by beautiful natural scenery. Once Mrs. Liu had come across a 40-year-old man there who came from mainland China to do some research as he wanted to move his company to Canada. Mrs. Liu struck up a conversation with him and introduced him to Falun Gong. the spiritual practice that has done her so much good, and about all the crimes and human rights violations that the CCP has committed against Falun Gong. She then tried to convince him to quit the party. After all, an organization this sinister cannot escape justice forever, and he should quit for his own good to avoid being implicated. When he still hesitated, she paused, and then told him about her personal belief that good things come to good people, and that if he takes this righteous action and severs his ties to the CCP, he will prosper even more. It was then that the man said, "I don't believe in any of that. Blessings are an excuse for the weak, and my business is only prospering because of my own work." Seeing how the man valued hard work, Mrs. Liu then told him about all the instances in history when the CCP has cheated hard-working people of the fruits of their labor, and then related that to its human rights violations in recent years, which denied good, earnest people their most basic rights. She spoke of the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989, the Falun Gong persecution, and the CCP's brutal organ harvesting operation. The man listened intently and nodded at times. Before they both knew it, Mrs. Liu had been talking for over 50 minutes. At the end of their conversation, the man finally said, "Thank you very much, ma'am. I understand things a lot better now. Please help me quit the CCP." Mrs. Liu was happy to oblige, and the man had to go soon after that. But before he left, he turned around and said, "Ma'am, God sent you to tell me all this. I just know it. Falun Dafa has to be good. My mother is the same age as you, but she is so frail that she can hardly move. Going outside is out of the question. But you're still out and about, and almost as healthy as I am. It must be some kind of miracle." But Mrs. Liu told him that this miracle could be replicated if he would tell his mother to sincerely recite the lines, "Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. When she feels weak, wonderful things will happen to her." The man was overjoyed to hear this and promised to relay the message to his mother. He left Mrs. Liu with his heartfelt thanks and well wishes. This is the fifth time. Not too far from Canada Place is the Gastown Steam Clock, another Vancouver marvel that showcases the versatility of water power. It's another favorite spot of Mrs. Liu's, as she can always meet a lot of Chinese tourists there as well. She came across three technology workers from Beijing one day and introduced herself to them. They were friendly enough until she told them about quitting the CCP. "Are you guys following us? We're meeting Falun Gong practitioners everywhere we go," one exclaimed, frustrated. "This is the fifth time." "Have you quit the party then?" asked Mrs. Liu. The three men said no. Mrs. Liu patiently began to tell the men about the CCP's corruption and all the money that they've taken from the Chinese every man. "I know it sounds a bit redundant to have all of us tell you the same thing. But on the flip side, it means that you have that many people who care about you and your well-being," said Mrs. Liu. "Please don't miss these opportunities." The three men listened well to Mrs. Liu's spiel and got very emphatic when she mentioned the party's corrupt officials. "That's already old news to us," said one of the other men. "Hell will freeze over before the CCP becomes clean." After their conversation, Mrs. Liu overheard the three of them whispering to each other. "This old lady is really something and told us so much," said the first man. "Let's quit this party today." The three of them then turned around and unanimously asked Mrs. Liu to write their names down as three people who want nothing to do with the CCP anymore. "You must be careful, ma'am." Another time, Mrs. Liu came across a mother and daughter visiting the steam clock. The mother had come to Canada to visit her daughter and grandchildren, and her daughter had decided to take her sightseeing that day. Mrs. Liu spoke with them about the CCP's persecution of the Chinese people and how they had killed over 80 million Chinese. When she had gotten to that fact, the mother began to cry. Mrs. Liu paused. "Ma'am, Had I said something offensive? She asked gingerly. No, replied her daughter. My mother is crying because she just remembered how severely my grandparents have been persecuted in the past. They were labeled as rightists and tortured brutally. Because of this, my grandma became mentally unstable and couldn't look after herself for years. She died last year, while my grandpa is still alive. He can't bear to talk about the past. He'd start shaking violently and would then burst into tears. Both women thanked Mrs. Liu after quitting the CCP and told her of their wish that the party would fall soon. Before they left, the daughter said, You must be careful, ma'am. We've heard that the party has a lot of its spies in Vancouver that may try to make things difficult for you. The mother and daughter took many Falun Gong materials with them, along with a few copies of the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party. Breaking a contract. One day at Queen Elizabeth Park, Mrs. Liu met with an elderly couple here to attend their daughter's graduation ceremony. The husband, a bank manager, had held himself with some reserve. In the beginning, the couple tried to ignore Mrs. Liu and would barely talk to her. But moved by her patient words, they were soon chatting like old friends. They asked many questions about the situation in mainland China, which Mrs. Liu was more than happy to answer. After listening to Mrs. Liu and learning of the facts, they finally confessed to Mrs. Liu that before they had come abroad, they were made to sign a statement that prohibited them from talking with Falun Gong practitioners and other dissidents. But after hearing Mrs. Liu's spiel, they both withdrew from the CCP and asked Mrs. Liu to stay safe and look after herself. Complete sincerity can affect even metal and stone. Auntie Liu has also been a regular at Vancouver's Chinatown and has been clarifying the truth there for 8 years and 4 months. She recalls that in the beginning, the situation was very difficult. Many Chinese people were very hostile to the Falun Gong practitioners. Some would tear at the posters and banners that Mrs. Liu had up. Others ripped apart the truth clarification materials, and some people even spat on the practitioners and berated them as traitors. However, the Falun Gong practitioners remained peaceful and never retaliated, and the situation would gradually improve to the point where disturbances like these were practically non-existent. Initially, the Chinese Communist Party had spread the rumor that Falun Gong practitioners were hired by anti-Chinese groups in America and Taiwan. As a result, many tourists in Chinatown would heckle Mrs. Liu, asking her how much she made in a day. One day, a woman came up to Mrs. Liu and introduced herself. She was a painter who came to Vancouver looking for work, but couldn't find a job. She's also been running low on money and is having trouble paying her rent for next month. The painter told Mrs. Liu that she was hoping to find a job here as she heard that Falun Gong practitioners could make up to $100 a day distributing truth clarification materials. That's just slander by the CCP, Mrs. Liu explained, are here out of the goodness of their own hearts. We simply hope that innocent people like you aren't deceived by the CCP's lies. None of us have taken any money for our troubles. Mrs. Liu had great compassion for this woman in need. Through her husband, she found a job for the woman at the newspaper company he worked at. The woman was ecstatic when she heard the good news. She told Mrs. Liu, I won't believe the CCP's lies anymore. I haven't read the materials you gave me before. I'll definitely read it when I go home today. There was a Chinatown shopkeeper who had a very bad opinion of Falun Gong and would always roll her eyes when Mrs. Liu and the other practitioners came around. However, Mrs. Liu would always smile and greet her warmly whenever they made eye contact. One day, this woman accosted Mrs. Liu. So you earn over $100 every day, don't you? How old are you? She asked. Mrs. Liu and the shopkeeper began to chat. They realized that they both were the same age, which brought them closer. The shopkeeper told Mrs. Liu about her family and some of the conflicts that her family members have with each other. When she finally learned that Falun Gong practitioners didn't receive any money, She became very emotional. "You work so hard for others without getting anything in return?" she exclaimed incredulously. "You are really a bunch of amazing people." In the end, she happily quit the CCP. These are only two examples, but many more exist, both within Mrs. Liu's experience and without. Chinese people are becoming more and more open to the reality of the CCP, and today's many Chinese tourists approach Falun Gong practitioners voluntarily to chat and quit the CCP themselves. Starting the practice of Falun Gong. It's not often that a 78-year-old woman would work so hard through insults and angry attitudes, all without receiving pay, but Mrs. Liu has her reasons. "If someone hadn't patiently talked to me, I wouldn't know the truth about Falun Gong, and I'd still believe the party's lies," she said. Those who have misunderstood the truth about Falun Gong are in danger of being implicated by the CCP. How can I not save them? Mrs. Liu was born in rural China to very poor parents, and being of a lower caste was no pleasant experience when China was in the middle of class warfare. Her family belonged to the five categories of disgraced people, which the CCP ridiculed and castigated constantly. Her parents were afraid of their children getting into trouble outside and were very strict as a result. Under their guidance, Mrs. Liu gradually developed a habit of being cautious and tried not to make waves or get involved with people that would bring her trouble. After leaving the countryside, Mrs. Liu moved to Beijing because of work. At that time, Falun Gong was vastly popular in Beijing and everyone was a practitioner. Her neighbors recommended it to her, but she wouldn't take up the practice, not wanting to dabble in things outside of work. After her retirement in 1992, Mrs. Liu looked after her son's computer business and handled his administrative work. In 1998, she would visit her daughter and son-in-law in Japan, where she was yet again introduced to Falun Gong. "At that time, my daughter had started Falun Gong," said Mrs. Liu. "She told me about its many benefits and gave us a copy of Juan Falun and the exercise music before we left. She asked me to read the book when I got back to China, but I was too busy with my son's business to even open it." When the CCP started persecuting Falun Gong in 1999, they began their libelous campaign, which portrayed the peaceful practice as a violent one, which promoted self-immolation and aggression towards others. Hearing these lies only made Mrs. Liu even more determined not to learn Falun Gong. Mrs. Liu's daughter eventually immigrated to Canada, and she would go visit her daughter in 2001. "My daughter and her husband had encouraged me to practice Falun Gong, but I wasn't tempted, as the CCP's propaganda was still in my mind," said Mrs. Liu. "But one day, one of my daughter's practitioner friends had a conversation with me that really brought me to my senses. She made me think for myself and ask myself whether I had been brainwashed by the CCP or not. She asked me, 'Have you read Juan Falun before?' I answered, 'No, of course,'" said Mrs. Liu. She then went on, "You mainland Chinese believe everything the CCP says. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Think about it. When Mao Zedong sat down with Liu Shaoqi, hadn't all the Chinese people shouted the same thing with him?" Then she continued, "Taiwanese people aren't like that. We'd think about whether what was said is right. If it isn't, we won't follow it." Then she talked about how she obtained the Fa and her cultivation experience, recalled Mrs. Liu. Mrs. Liu felt her mind open up, and it was the first time that she realized that she could doubt things that the CCP had said. She decided to judge whether Falun Gong was truly good or not by herself, and decided to start reading Juan Falun. After reading Juan Falun, Mrs. Liu felt like a completely different person. "My notions had changed completely," she said. "I thought, wow, Falun Gong is so great." She remembers this passage as one that really stood out to her on that first read. Quote, "Some people say I'll make some more money and make sure my family's set for life. Then I won't have anything to worry about and I'll go on to cultivate. I'd say you're dreaming. You can't interfere with other people's lives. You can't control their fates, be it your wife's, your kids, your parents, or your siblings. Is that something you decide? Unquote. Juan Falun. As she read this, tears began to run down her face. Everything is just as Master said. I helped my son run the business for many years, and we've all made some profit. But maybe he just wasn't destined for more, as he eventually got cheated out of all his money, said Mrs. Liu. Since then, Mrs. Liu has decided to cultivate Falun Gong and has never regretted her decision. Sharing the joys of cultivation. Mrs. Liu felt great changes after she began cultivation in earnest. She became healthier and happier. Before, she had spondylitis and cardiac insufficiency. She often felt dizzy and needed to take a break after walking a while. But all her symptoms are gone now, and she can walk easily, and she looks every bit as healthy as she feels. Though Mrs. Liu is nearly 80 years old, people would often mistake her for someone in their 60s. Out of politeness, she normally called young or middle-aged people young man or child when she clarified the truth. However, some middle-aged people didn't like that so much. What did you say? I'm over 40 years old. I'm not young. How old are you? Said a man once. I'm 78, replied Mrs. Liu. What? You can't be more than 60 years old. There was even one woman who used Mrs. Liu's age to attack her. You practice Falun Gong, so you'd lie. You're probably lying about your age, too, she said. Mrs. Liu had no words for the woman. She quietly took out her bus pass that had her actual date of birth. The woman was stunned. She listened to Mrs. Liu's every word after that. Mrs. Liu also likes to stay active as a member of the Falun Dafa waist drum team. In the past 9 years, she has attended many parades and other activities. It's quite a physically taxing exercise, and Mrs. Liu claims that without her cultivation practice, waist drumming would be an impossible feat for her. Mrs. Liu performs in the waist drum team. Mrs. Liu says that cultivation has also helped her become a better person. I take personal interest lightly after cultivating. Though my children helped my husband and I immigrate here, I try to reduce their burden and be independent, she said. A few years ago, Mrs. Liu even worked for a printing company. She was a diligent employee and would do anything within her role, from heavy work to tasks requiring more agility. Whenever she would encounter any tribulations, Mrs. Liu would try her hardest to accommodate others. Cultivation gave her a big heart, so she was slow to anger and always tried her best to resolve problems in a peaceful way. To this day, Mrs. Liu is still very grateful to the Taiwanese practitioner that told her the truth, as without her, Mrs. Liu may not have ever started cultivating herself and would miss this golden opportunity. Her mission now is to reach out to those Chinese who are still deceived by the CCP's lies, to let them know the facts, to enable them to think independently, and to free them from the CCP's crimes whenever their punishment inevitably arrives.
That's all we have for you this week. If you like the contents, please go to our website to subscribe to the weekly newsletter, or send your suggestions and feedback to editor@en.minghui.org. Thank you for listening.